everyone. This is Pastor Sandra Dawson, and welcome to our New Mount Calvary podcast. We relaunched our podcast just last week because we know that many of you enjoy receiving content and information audio. And by doing so, that just helps us to expand our reach for the kingdom of God. So welcome to our podcast. Today's episode is a sermon that was delivered by Minister Gary Hogan. Minister Hogan has been a part of our church family for about 6 or 7 years now, and he serves as my pastoral assistant. He is a faithful young man, and we are so grateful to have the opportunity to showcase his preaching gift today. So I welcome you to our podcast. I hope that you will enjoy it. I hope you will subscribe to our podcast, where you can hear all types of content, from sermons to Bible studies to interviews with our members. I'm working on some interviews, hopefully, that you'll be able to hear very soon, of our members who have written books and who have been victorious in a pandemic, because we want to be encouraged. So stay tuned to hear this message by Minister Hogan, and I will be back.
Well, good morning, New Mount Calvary Baptist Church. I am glad to be here this morning. I'm glad just to wake up this morning. You know, somebody did not wake up, but God gave us another opportunity to get it right, to start over. He gave us a fresh start on this morning, and I am grateful for it. Greetings to Pastor Dawson. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to the people that God has given you, entrusted you with in this season. And so I am grateful for this opportunity to my fellow laborers in the gospel that may be on the line this morning. Thank you for your support. To just the church family in general, thank you for your support. This has been a trying year for some of us, but God has kept us. God has kept us. And so as we go into the word this morning, I'm excited about what God has given to me to give to you. We've been in the book of James since June, if I'm not mistaken, and God has really been revealing some things to the ministers as they have came in such an excellent way in their presentation in this series. And so this morning we are in the conclusion of the book of James, the fifth chapter, verses 13 through 20. But I'm not going to read all those verses. I'm going to conclude at verse 16. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to jump right into the word. We're going to jump right into the word of God. Let's just pray before we go and read our scripture. Eternal God, our Father, how we thank you, God, how we bless you, how we magnify your holy name. God, we make your name great in this place. Wherever that place may be for us right now, God, we ask that your spirit arrest us, arrest our attention, oh God, arrest our thoughts, oh God, arrest our hearts, oh God, that we may receive what you have for us on this morning, oh God, not just for 7:30 service, but God, at 11 o'clock service, God. Arrest us, oh God, in your presence. Don't let us get distracted because we may not be in the actual physical building, oh God. But God, arrest us in your presence, oh God. I ask that you fill me up again, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Whatever is in me that should not be, oh God, take it out, oh God. Forgive me for my sins, oh God, that I have sinned against thee, oh God. God, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit, oh God. God, somebody needs the word on this morning. Somebody called in, oh God, and they said they couldn't make it no more. But God, they pressed their way, oh God. And so because they pressed, oh God, give them what they need, oh God. But most of all, say to the utmost, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and praise God. Praise God. You know, I have got so accustomed to seeing the people and the energy of the people and having them clap their hands and lifting their voices. And so at this moment, it feels a little strange, right? I need some talk back, but, you know, I'm going to talk back to myself, right? if that makes sense. If it gets good to me, I say, yeah, preach, preacher, or something like that. But I'm grateful for the opportunity. Let's go into the Word of God. Let's go into the Word of God. I will be reading from the Christian Standard Bible, and I chose that just because it's a better read for me. I like the way that it reads, and so you may have your version that you like as well. But just if it sounds different, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. And it reads chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The A clause says, the prayers of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. For a focus, I want to focus on that on that 16th verse in the A clause, and it says, the prayers of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. I have just read James 5, verses 13 through 16. May God add a blessing to the readers and doers of his most holy word. For a thought on this morning, if you will, effective prayers equals results. Effective prayers equals results. Effective prayers equals results. As we come to the end of this awesome series of what I would like to call life lessons, James has told us how to go through when facing trials and temptations. He has told us how we should be doers of the word. He has told us how we should not show favoritism, how we should be patient in our suffering. And now at the conclusion of chapter 5, he tells us while we are going through, we should pray. Now remember that these are believers James is talking to in James. In the book of James, these are believers that are going through trials and tribulations. And James, what I call life lessons, gives these believers some life lessons. He tells them how to consider it all joy in the beginning of the book when you're going through. He tells them how we should not just be hearers of God's word, but also we should be doers of God's word. He tells us how we shouldn't, you know, show favoritism to one person or to one party versus the other. He tells us how to be patient in waiting on the Lord, being patient. And now he tells the believers at the conclusion of the chapter, he says, now that you're still going through, while you're going through, you need to pray. You need to pray, but you don't need to just pray, but there needs to be some power behind your prayer. There needs to be something that gets the attention of God, if you will. It's not nothing deep. It's not nothing deep. It's not nothing complex. You don't even have to overthink it. But while you are going through, and I don't know about you, but in this season, some of us have been going through, right? While you are going through that situation, pray. Pray. That leads me to pray. You have to pray. That leads me to my first point. Prayer is personal. Prayer is personal. Prayer is personal. Where do you get that, Minister Hogan? I get that from verse 13. And it says, is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. That's personal. It says he should pray. He should pray. The song we just heard, it said, it makes no difference what the problem may be. You can go to God in prayer. You can go to God in prayer. Whatever your situation may be at that time, God is there to hear your needs and your wants. What is prayer? Prayer is an intimate conversation or communication with God. It's an intimate communication with God. When you're intimate with someone, when you're in a relationship with someone and you become intimate with someone, you trust that person, right? You love on that person. You communicate with that person. You let that person know what it is that you are expecting from that relationship. You let that person know what you would like for them to do. You become one with that person. You become intimate with that person. And so when we go to God in prayer, there has to be some intimacy there. There has to be a relationship there. There has to be, it's just not, you know, knock on the door when you need something, but it should be a type of relationship there. When you call on him, he knows that it's you, right? He's not saying, oh, they just calling me when they want something, but they just calling me when they're going through something. No, I call you when I'm happy, because if you look further in verse 13 of James 5, you would see that it says also, let them pray. It says, is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. So that indicates even in your happy state, you should still be praying. You should still be rejoicing, right? You know, sometimes we only want to pray when we're going through. But what about those times that God delivered? What about those times that all the bills are paid? What about those times that in this pandemic where unemployment is on a high, but you still got your job? What about those happy times? Are you praying in the happy times? That may be something to think about. Are you praying in the happy times? Dr. Tony Evans says, and I quote, a lot of us want to throw in the towel before throwing up a prayer. That stuck with me when I read that. It stuck with me because it's so true. So many times we want to throw in the towel before we actually have a conversation with God, because we are not looking at it in a spiritual aspect at that time, but we're looking at it in our natural eye. And so with our natural eye, we can't see what we need to see in the spirit. That's why it's so imperative that you have that time with God, that you have that discernment, that you have what you need with God when you're going through. Because if not, you will say, forget all this. I don't have to go through this. I don't have to do this. Why, you know, why am I suffering like this? Especially when you see those that are not on the right path of life, should I say? And sometimes in life it will cause you, if you're not careful, to say, hey, I'm throwing in the towel. I'm not praying. I don't want to pray. It's too hard to pray right now. I can't pray right now. You don't know how I'm feeling right now. I'm over it. And if we be honest, that has been some of our reactions in this season of life. We said we're not doing this no more. But before you give up, try having a talk with Jesus. Before you give up, try having a talk with Jesus. They used to sing a song that said, I had a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about my problems. Hear my famous cry and answer by and by. Feel the little prayer wheel turning. Know that the fire is burning. Have a little talk with Jesus. Make it right. I guarantee you, if you have that talk with Jesus, he will make it right. He will bring you out. He will bring you through. He will bring you over. But it's personal. Prayer is personal. But for it to also be personal, we have to be in our word. We have to, I believe sometimes we don't get the results that we need is because sometimes we are not praying the word of God. We are not praying the word of God. We pray everything else but the word of God. If God says in his word that you are healed by his stripes, you are healed. It's in his word. If God says he is the head and not the tail, it's in his word. If God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, it's in his word. And if it's in his word, he will not break his promises. Try combating your issues by praying the word of God, by praying the word of God, by praying the word of God. The Bible says that men ought to always pray. That's Luke 18:1. We ought to always pray. If prayer is personal, you should always be praying. What do you mean, minister? It's 24 hours in a day, right? It's 24 hours in a day. Are you telling me that I need to be praying from the time I get up to the time I go to sleep? Men ought to always pray. There should always be a conversation with God. And you know the reason there should always be a conversation with God? Because within those 24 hours, something is going to happen. That's going to either make you want to cuss or make you want to tell somebody off or make you want to just give up in life at that moment. But if you know who to go to in those moments, you can call him up just right then and there. You may not get the answer that you want at that time, but you have the access that you need to get to who you need to get to, and that's God. So we should always be praying. And here's a shameless plug. We are engulfed with prayer at the Mount, right? We are engulfed with prayer at the Mount Monday through Friday. 7:14 a.m. The intercessory prayer team is praying on the line. We have Monday night prayer. Our small groups have prayer. There's no excuse for the Mount, right? There's no excuse of why we can't be in that intimacy with God when it comes down to our prayer life. Point number two, it says prayer is a partnership. Prayer is a partnership. And where I got that from is in verse 14. It says, if anyone among you sick, he should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And then verse 15, it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise them up. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise them up. Let's look at the word sick. Sick in the Greek means weak. It's not in the context of what we think it is as we think of sick, somebody being sick, right? But if we look up the word in its original context, it means weak. It means weak. And around this verse is you know very confrontational, but there has been you know discrepancies about it. But if you look up the word in its original context, it means weak. And so that indicates to me that it's not just a physical sickness. It's not just a physical sickness, but it could be a weakness. It could be a weakness in your life, and it could be a weakness of your mind. It could be weakness mentally. You know that we are dealing with a lot of mental illness in this season. You should call on the elders of the church in those moments of weakness. James is telling the believers to pray, that spiritual leadership of the church to pray for you, Now, sometimes you may not get the pastor. Sometimes you may not get the minister. But I titled this point, prayer is a partnership. That's where that intercessory prayer comes in, right? That's where your prayer partner comes in, right? You can call your prayer partner to intercede on your behalf, because in those moments of sickness, in those moments of weakness, sometimes you don't have the strength that you need to pray as you ought to pray, as you desire to pray. Sometimes you need that person to intercede on your behalf, And when that person intercedes on your behalf, God hears them. Example, you remember the story of the man that was sick. He was sick, and his friends, they pulled him up. He was on the mat. Jesus was teaching at the house. I'm going to get it together. Jesus was teaching at the house, and they couldn't get in because all these people were there, but they decided to pull him up on the mat and open a space on the roof and lower him down to where Jesus was, to lower him down. In that moment, that man wasn't able to get up off his sick bed, but he had some people around him that had enough faith to believe that God could heal him, and they were able to get him to where he needed to be at. And that's just like those your prayer partners in those moments of sickness, in those moments of weakness, when you're not able to communicate like you want to communicate, when you're not able to say, to say what you need to say. They can say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you heal. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you deliver. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your will be done in that individual's life, And also in the verse, you see that it says, and they are to pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Putting oil on someone during these days is not what we see today, right? Oil was used in those days as a medical prescription, right? In lack of a better term. And they would use the oil, and they would rub the oil on the body of the individual. And when they rub that oil on the body of the individual, that oil made the person feel better. So as we have taken this symbol of the oil, we use it as a sign of contact, right, of anointing the person, believing that God will do what he said he would do, believing in faith that it's already done. Now, the oil, it doesn't have any power in it. right? But it's what we, it's our belief, it's our faith, it's our faith, it's our faith. It's just a symbol of what God, what we believe that God can do. And so prayer is a partnership. Prayer is a partnership. And my last point, prayer is proven. Prayer is proven. Verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. And then it says, the prayer of a righteous person. That's that, that A clause. That's our focus. Our focus scripture, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. If you remember the title of the message, it says, effective prayers equals results. Effective prayers equals results. What does that mean? Effective prayers equals results. Successful in our prayer, right? Being successful in our prayer, being effective prayers equals results. So prayer is proven. Prayer is proven. If you go further in the text, it talks about Elijah, how he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. But then again, he prayed for the rain. And he prayed so powerfully. He prayed so earnestly. He prayed so fervently that God answered his prayer. Sometimes in our life, we have to pray fervently. We have to pray with power. We have to pray with authority. We have to pray knowing and believing that God can do exactly what he said he would do. When we offer up the prayer of faith, we are offering up and believing the will of God for the situation. You may say, Minister, I have prayed for some things and it did not end in the way that I wanted it to end in. It may not have been the will of God for you to get what you said that you wanted. But the great thing about God, he doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't make any mistakes in what and how he responds to us. He knows what we need when we need it. He knows how we can handle what we were requesting from him. In this season, we have experienced a lot of death. We have experienced a lot of illness. We have experienced a lot of downfall, and if we're not careful, we would think or we would say that God is not hearing us because we prayed for one thing. We prayed for Big Mama to be healed. We prayed for Uncle Ernest to be healed. We prayed for Cousin JoJo to come through. We prayed that the cancer would go away, but it didn't. Does that mean that God didn't hear us? Does that mean that our prayer is still not proven? No. It just means in that moment that that may not have been the will of God for that situation. How can you say that, Minister? You remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed. 3 times he prayed. He said, Lord, if it's thy will, take this cup from me. He prayed so fervently until the sweat turned into blood. He prayed that I don't want to do this. Whew. Have you ever been there that you have prayed some things that you did not want to do? I don't want to take this journey. But God, he still allows you to take the journey. And just like with Jesus, he didn't take the cup away from him because it wasn't his will at that time. But he had him go to the cross for our sins. He had him go to the cross for our sins. Prayer is proven. You remember Peter, how the church prayed earnestly for Peter while he was locked up. The church was praying. The church was praying. Somebody was interceding for him. And as the church prayed, Peter was released. Prayer is proven to the saints of God. Prayer is proven to the believers of God. It may not be the result that you want, but my brothers and my sisters, God will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. God has not forgotten about you. Continue to hold fast. Continue to hold fast to God's unchanging hand. They would say, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't serve a God that I couldn't have an intimate conversation with. I wouldn't serve a God that I could not fall on my knees in the time of trouble, as James instructed these believers, that I could not communicate with. I would not serve a God that when I don't know which way to turn, when I don't have the strength in my body, he is on the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Make an intercession for us. So on this morning, as we conclude this chapter in this book of James, remember, while you are yet going through, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't get up off your knees. But in those moments, continue to seek the face of God. Continue to pray the will of God, because we know that our prayer is personal. We know that our prayer is a partnership, and we know that effective prayers is proven. It's all throughout the Bible that is proven. It's all throughout your life, hallelujah, that when you prayed, God heard your prayer and he answered your prayer. It may not always have been in the answer that you wanted it to be in, but God answered in the ability and in the time and in the way that he chose to answer. And so on this morning, I thank you for listening to me, and I hope that the word of God encouraged you, and I hope and I pray that when you do pray, that you pray fervently and expect effective results. Notice I didn't say what type of results, because each prayer has different results. I don't know what your result is, but I know if you go before God, he will give you your answer.
Thank you, Minister Hogan, for that wonderful message. And thank you for listening to New Mount Calvary's podcast. If you were blessed by today's episode, don't keep it to yourself. Let somebody else know. Share the wealth, share the knowledge, share the blessing. And of course, I want you to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to New Mount Calvary Podcast. God bless you. I love you. Don't forget, we are a growing church. We are growing in the word. We are growing in our worship. And we are growing in our witness. And now we're growing in our podcast. God bless you. And we'll see you next time.